It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. My next guest is New York State Senate co-leader Jeffrey Klein of the Bronx. If you don't know the unusual politics of the New York State Senate, Klein leads a group that calls itself the Independent Democrats. Four Democrats who voted for Republican Dean Skelos for majority leader, putting him into power. Well, they're all trying to run for re-election on this arrangement next year, and Klein has just released the Independent Democratic Conference policy agenda for 2014, aimed at the middle class and called Affordable New York 2014. Let's hear about it. Senator Klein, thanks for doing this. Welcome back to WNYC.
My pleasure, Brian. Just a quick correction. We're co-majority leaders and co-presidents. Dean Skelos is not the sole majority leader of the Senate.
Okay, fair enough. My apologies. And it looks like you have about nine items on this list of bills, and I'm going to tick some of them off here in shorthand so people know the kinds of things we're talking about. 6 weeks of paid family leave like they have in New Jersey, Mitchellama 2020, a new affordable housing program, tax deductions for donations to public or private schools, a study and stay tax credit for certain college grads who take jobs in the state, making up to $20,000 in college savings tax deductible, and allowing parents to prepay at present-day prices for public and private colleges. Do I have the highlights about right?
Pretty much. We also have, I think, a very important plan to help seniors with high utility costs as well as the high price of prescription drugs. But I think this is an important plan, and it's what we're calling making New York affordable. You know, I think we've made over the last several years, you know, tremendous progress in putting more money back in the pockets of hardworking New Yorkers. But I think now it's time to go further, and I think we need some common sense solutions that can bridge the economic gap for the families of today and the generations of tomorrow. And I think our plan does that. You know, paid family leave, Brian, is something that's way overdue. I mean, there's very few families who can afford to take part in the 12-week unpaid Family Leave Act that was passed by the federal government. Under our plan, we want to give 6 weeks of paid family leave for a hardworking New Yorker to bond with a new baby, to take care of an elderly loved one or a sick relative or spouse. I think this is going to provide continuity in the workforce. I think it's going to allow our workforce to be more productive. And I think it just makes a lot more common sense.
6 weeks of paid family leave. What do we have now under the law in New York State?
Right now, we have no paid family leave. Right now, someone could take off, you know, on a disability. But right now, as you know, most people can't afford to take, you know, a week off without pay, let alone 6 weeks. So I think this approach is going to go a long way towards, I think, putting more money back in the pockets of New Yorkers. They're not going to be devastated by a family emergency any longer.
And would that be required of all employers, no matter how big or how small, and would it cover part-time employees,
we're
too?
We're actually making it – we're at the size of the business has to be over 25 employees. And we're not putting any burden on the employer or the employee. The first year of the program will be paid for by the state of New York.
And after that?
After that, we're still going to guarantee $150 million that's going to be put forth by the state. And then it's going to come out to about 6 cents a paycheck.
Meaning employers would have to cover it and apply for some of the state aid to help them cover it?
Exactly. It's not the employers. It's the employees. It comes out of an employee's check, and it would be 6 cents a paycheck originally. And then when we reach the maximum of $1,000 a week, it would be about 16 cents per paycheck.
I'm sorry. What would come out of the employee's paycheck?
In other words, The first year, there's not going to be no contribution by the employee, and we're guaranteeing $150 million every year. So it'll be a much lower payment for the actual employee.
Oh, because it's an insurance policy.
Correct.
In the event of family needs.
Exactly. Otherwise, it's not only called paid family leave, it's also kind of paid maternity and insurance leave. You're correct, Brian.
So it's whether you have a new baby or somebody in the family, a parent or whoever is sick, any of those things that you could apply
for. And it allows you to use up to 6 weeks in a year.
All right. How about this Mitchell-Lama 2020. The old Mitchell-Lama program, as you know, is reaching the end of its useful life because the affordable rents were only guaranteed for 20 years, and landlords are reverting to market rates as those periods expire. What would this one do?
This would really recreate the program. We're calling it Mitchell-Lama 2020, where we're going to dedicate over $750 million over the next 5 years to restart the program. You know, Brian, I think this was probably one of the best state housing programs ever created. You know, so many generations of New Yorkers lived in Mitchell-Lama housing. We need to bring it back. And I think the way we do that is, again, dedicating some state money for the program. Allowing developers to have low-interest mortgages like they did in the past, and really open the process up. You know, I think one of the things we have to be mindful of is that we're not housing working families anymore. 56% of working families now have access to affordable housing. So I think we can house low-income New Yorkers, middle-income New Yorkers as well by putting forth this new Mitchell-Lama 2020 program.
Could you make the stabilized rent permanent in this version?
Well, one of the things I want to make sure, and you're right, Brian, I don't want to see after 30 years like the previous Mitchell-Lama program where it becomes market rate housing, where, you know, people come into an area, they're sort of stakeholders in areas, pioneers, so to speak, and when an area becomes gentrified or becomes more desirable, the rents go sky high. I want to make sure that this Mitchell-Lama program continues for many generations to come.
Listeners, calls for the co-leader of the New York State Senate, the so-called independent Democrat, Jeffrey Klein of the Bronx, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. You can call in on some of these ideas, whether you like them or not, that they call the Affordable New York 2014 agenda from that group of four independent Democrats, as they call themselves, that has aligned with Republicans to create this co-leadership in the state Senate between the Republican Dean Skelos of Long Island and Senator Klein from the Bronx, 212-433-9692. Tell me about one other one.
The child care. That's something that's very, very important. I mean, you know, we probably house the most unaffordable daycare any place in the United States. And if you look at what working families are paying, it's anywhere from $10,000 to $16,000 just for daycare. In New York City, it's even more than that in many cases. So we're really making working families, really giving them sort of a Hobson's choice. Do they go to work and pay most of their money for child care, or do they just stay home? And that's a problem, because if you think about it, one of the things that I want to return is the daycare subsidy. This benefits women, Brian, who make under $50,000 a year. That's the type of person that unless they get help with child care and they get a subsidy, that individual can't go out to work because they can't afford $15,000 to $20,000 in child care. So we want to bring back that subsidy to the tune of $89 million, which will then allow us to have it qualify for federal matching money, and we can have all these women get these subsidies again. And then for the working parents that are sort of in between or their income level is above that $50,000 subsidy, we want to give them the working families child care tax credit, where they would be able to get up to $1,000 or actually take off from their taxes up to $1,000 while a parent works, goes to school, or looks for work.
We had the incoming first deputy mayor of New York, Anthony Shoris, on the show earlier this morning, and he said that you have announced your support for getting the small tax hike on New York City residents making $500,000 a year or more through Albany to fund the pre-K and after-school program that the de Blasio administration will want. Will you confirm that?
That's correct. Mayor de Blasio's plan to make those who make a little bit more, to pay a little bit more, and allow all young people in New York to have universal pre-K and after-school programs fits in very nicely with making New York affordable. If someone can't afford childcare, if someone can't afford universal pre-K or nursery school, that prevents them from going to work. So I think everyone, Brian, in the city of New York especially, should be invested in making sure we have universal pre-K for all and after-school programs. You know, I hear that in my district all the time, which tends to be, you know, working class, middle income, that they want to see more after-school programs. So I think people forget, while we want to make sure the poorest New Yorkers have access to universal pre-K for their kids and after-school programs, after-school programs and universal pre-K get really benefits all neighborhoods. So I think this is a common-sense approach, and I'm going to be pushing very, very hard to make sure the mayor achieves his agenda.
Let's take a phone call. Raul in Prospect Heights, you're on WNYC. Hello, Raul.
One idea that sounds to me, it sounds very good on the face of it, of giving tax-deductible donations or letting donations to your school be tax-deductible, is actually something that is very regressive, because the richer neighborhoods have parents who can do that. The poor neighborhoods don't. And, you know, I have a kid in public school, but I would rather have my tax dollars pay for my school. And I'm very concerned that the schools in richer neighborhoods get to be better funded and the schools in poorer neighborhoods don't get the funding or get less in funding, less in funding because of things like this.
Well, I hear what you're talking about, and I think the program not only benefits public schools, but also private schools. And unfortunately, we have a crisis, especially in the Catholic school system. We have schools closing each and every day. And I think it really benefits all of us if we have a Catholic school system which continues to work, because clearly our public schools can't accommodate all of these kids who would have to leave public schools. So I think at the end of the day, we need to have a means test. We need to make sure that the scholarship programs, which would benefit from these tax cuts or tax credits, only go to the poorest schools. So I agree. It has to be a scholarship program where the schools that have the lower income students would actually benefit from this program, either if they're in private school or public school.
And to people who object on the face of having a tax deduction go to private schools and take money out of the public fisc to help support private schools of any kind, including religious ones?
Well, again, I mean, this, I think, benefits everyone. We made sure to craft a bill where 50% of the monies would go to private scholarship funds. The other 50% would go to public school funds. I think this, you know, works. We have a lot of very active parents associations and a lot of people who are very, very concerned about public education. And I think this is kind of the push they need, you know, to get that tax credit, to get that tax deduction, to put more money into our schools. By giving $250 million in tax credits to individuals, we'll create another $300 to $350 million in funding for both private and public schools.
Sandy in Sunset Park, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sandy.
Mr. Klein, you've got a very ambitious program there. My question goes to the politics of Albany. If the Republicans oppose this program, will you bring it up for vote and pass it with Democratic support?
Well, you know, again, what you're going to see, you know, over the next couple of months is everyone putting out their proposals. The governor kind of put out his proposals. I'm sure the Assembly Democrats will do the same. The Independent Democratic Conference has put out their proposals, so have the Republicans. And now we're going to be pushing hard, you know, to achieve our agenda. You know, again, I want to get this done. And I know to get this done, I'm going to need Democratic support and Republican support. So, you know, hopefully moving forward, we can negotiate, we can compromise. But I think, you know, the plan that we're laying out, I think, is the most robust plan for New Yorkers. You know, I think the time has come where we have to sort of, you know, help people who get up every day and work. And that's lower income, middle income families, upper middle class. And I think the dynamics need to change, because I know what the discussion is really all about right now is business tax cuts. You know, I think the way we create jobs, the way we improve our economy is by helping out working New Yorkers. And I think that's why making New York affordable is so important.
So are you opposing what Governor Cuomo seems to be leaning toward, which is making 2014 a year of tax cuts in New York State?
Well, you know, we have to look at it. I think everything, you know, has to be looked at as far as what are we doing to put more money back in the pockets of New Yorkers. You know, I know one tax cut that I think is sort of overblown is this 18A utility assessment. This is a utility tax, which has been around for quite some time. It generates $500 million a year. Eliminating that puts a big hole in our budget, which I think could be used for things like paid maternity leave and family leave, you know, daycare tax credits, you know, our Mitchell-Lama 2020 program. So I think we really have to take, you know, sort of a balanced approach. You know, I'm not opposed to making New York more business-friendly, but I think our concentration really has to be made on making New York affordable for all in New York.
But to the caller's point about whether Senator Scalise and the Republicans are going to go along with this agenda, let me add this. I was looking at the article on these proposals on the Times Union site, the Albany Times Union, and I saw this comment from somebody named Sammy, comment number three, which reflects a lot of the discomfort around your basic arrangement with the Republicans,
well,
that many Democrats fear.
And I'm not going to comment on some, you know,
but
Democratic staffer that, you know, wrote a comment on a blog, and I did happen to see that, you know, again.
Wait a minute, I'm going to read the comment because we can
sit back and do what they do in Washington, where they pick sides and Republicans, take a stand and Democrats take a stand, and the upshot is nobody gets done. And the only people who lose, Brian, are the people who send people to Washington. I think compromise negotiation is not a dirty word. It's part of governing, and that's how I hope to achieve our New York affordable plan.
The comment, which I'm going to read because it reflects what other people have said to me as well, says, "While this is an admirable agenda that serves the interest of the 99% working class, I can't see Dean Scalise and the Republicans going along with it. If we want this type of progressive agenda or affordability agenda, we have to get Scalise and the Republicans out of power in the New York Senate. Klein and the IDC are the ones who keep Scalise and the Republicans in power. If Klein and the IDC were real Democrats, they would be part of the Democratic Conference led by Andrea Stewart Cousins, and the Democrats would control the Senate. So if we want this progressive or affordability agenda, we need to replace Klein and the IDC with real Democrats. Let's see what real Democrats can do in the primaries." So why not align yourselves with the Democrats in the Senate, and then the Democrats would have a clearer majority?
Okay, Brian, I'm going to give you a little bit of a history lesson. You know, Democrats were in charge for 2 years. I was the deputy majority leader at the time. We failed to do campaign finance reform, gay marriage, ethics reform, farm workers' bill of rights, anything that the progressives fought for all these years. Then you jumpstart to our coalition government, where we achieved marriage equality, minimum wage increase to $9 for the hardest working New Yorkers, the most comprehensive and toughest gun bill in the nation in the SAFE Act, because we got these things done through bipartisan cooperation. So I'm very proud of the things we were able to accomplish by working out together things that we can all agree on and not drawing a line in the sand like they're doing in Washington every day.
So
the result is nothing gets done.
So just tell me, has Senator Scalise endorsed any of your agenda items, the one you've been talking about today?
The way it works, Brian, is we put out our proposals. The Republicans put out their proposals. And then at the end of the day, we negotiate and we try to get things done. That's how it works. I mean, nobody turns around and just says, yeah, let's do that. I mean, in the beginning, Senator Scalise came out last year and he thought that increasing the minimum wage to $9 would hurt business. He came around. And now we have a $9 minimum wage that's going to take effect in 3 years. In the beginning, he wasn't so keen on the SAFE Act. Again, through compromise and negotiation, he came around and we did it. I'm very hopeful that we can move forth with a New York affordable agenda as put forward, paid family leave and these other things, and the IDC is going to be fighting hard to get it done. You know, by the way, I mean, I saw the other day that Senator Cousins, the leader of the Democratic Conference, you know, came out for business tax cuts. That's not something that, you know, we should be looking at this early. Yes, we need to do some business tax cuts, but I think we really need to see how we can make New York affordable for the people who work here every day.
Are there any one or two from the list we've been discussing that you would press Senator Scalos the hardest on to try to get Republican support for?
You know, I think it's all important, Brian. Clearly, you know, I think our signature issue is the paid maternity and family leave. But also, you know, we didn't talk about, you know, helping seniors with the high price of prescription drugs. I want to expand the EPIC program, which can save senior citizens up to 80% on their prescription drug costs. We want to give seniors the opportunity to offset high utility bills, you know, whether it's a water bill in the city of New York or a electricity bill in upstate New York. So I think these are the things that I think strike a very important balance. And, you know, we're going to push, you know, every part of this program as hard as we can to make sure we achieve it.
Senator Jeffrey Klein from the Bronx, he is the co-leader of the New York State Senate and has put out his group, the Independent Democrats group's agenda, what they call the Affordable New York 2014 agenda for the next session. Thank you so much for coming on and talking about it.
Thank you, Brian.
This is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. It's New York and New Jersey Public Radio. More Brian Lehrer Show in a minute.